Chapter 33. Owen.
"I still can't believe you ditched me out there, mate," Talon says, slurping down the last of his stew. "I mean, I understand she's pretty and all, but you left me to fend for myself. I could have been killed."
Grimacing, I set my own bowl aside. "You know it wasn't like that, Tal," I reply furtively. "She doesn't have our training. I couldn't just leave her out there alone." He shrugs.
"I know. But it's fun reminding you that you took off with a girl instead of a fellow ranger. Don't think I'll ever let you forget it."
I sigh, and he chuckles, leaning back to rest against the wall. The Citadel has been under siege for 3 days, the King's men relentlessly assaulting the walls and attempting to break through the last hold of Dunmar City. The fortress, for all of its defenses, has been woefully ill-equipped to house the entire city's populace, and strict food rations have been put into effect to meet the increased demand. Fortunately, housing has not been much of an issue. Deep tunnels had been dug out beneath the Citadel for storage, and they now house the homeless people of the city. I pick my bowl back up and drain the last of the thin soup. I only wish they had the foresight to stock this place with enough provisions. We'll be down to eating rats soon.
"How's she doing, by the way?"
Talon asks unexpectedly. "Still out," I reply, trying not to sound disheartened. After her heroic display in front of the castle walls, Zara had collapsed and had remained unconscious ever since. Now she rests in the hospital wing with all the other wounded, weak but fortunately still breathing. I visit her whenever time allows, waiting by her side and praying for her to recover.
"Bloody shame," he says somberly. "It was a right good thing she did out there. Saved a lot of lives that day, my own included."
"Yeah," I reply glumly. "Mine too." A grim silence settles between us, and I find myself gazing out across the wide, crowded hall. Protector Thel's courtroom, the largest chamber in the Citadel, has been repurposed into a sort of common area for the soldiers, a place to be fed and to rest. It's filled to capacity with forlorn-looking soldiers, the air smelling strongly of sweat and the stench of stale blood. The Protector has taken to locking himself in his war room with his advisors, reportedly strategizing a way for us to get out of this mess. The problem is that everyone knows how hopeless the situation is, I think to myself, closing my eyes and letting out a long breath. They've backed us into a corner and there's not enough provisions to go around. The only logical choice is for us to surrender, if General Moore will even allow for that to happen now. A man calls out from the far side of the room, shouting for a change of the guard.
"Come on," Talon says softly, shaking me out of my reverie. "It's our turn to man the walls."
I reluctantly push myself to my feet, following him out of the common area and into the labyrinth of hallways twisting through the Citadel. The closer that we get to the gates, the more we are able to hear of the siege. Running a hand through my matted hair, I steel myself for the conflict we're about to enter. After spending so many days fighting, it's difficult not to feel worn down, especially considering our dire situation. The sense of being trapped, of having nowhere to run or hide, is almost more than I can bear. When not fretting about Zara, I find myself thinking about how the end will come, and which ways I would prefer to die. At least I won't live to see the R'hllar destroy everything, I think bitterly. That's a consolation, I suppose. We fall in line with a group of soldiers climbing the winding stairs to the wall, stopping when we reach the fortifications. Gazing out at the immense cavern, I begin taking stock of the battlefield. Not much has changed. Crossbowmen are in fortified positions along the outskirts of the city. Picket lines of spears are out in front, holding the perimeter. Laddermen and shield-bearing soldiers stand at attention, their ranks formed at the bottom of the causeway. The only thing that gives me pause is the siege equipment, which is now being set up behind the spearmen. "They've gotten closer since the last time we were out here," I remark, noting the near-completed state of the catapults. "They'll be lobbing rocks at us before the day is through."
"Wonderful," Talon replies sarcastically, accepting a quiver of arrows from a runner near one of the towers.
Due to the narrowness of the city streets, the King's engineers were forced to deconstruct their siege equipment and carted piece by piece to the front lines. They've been attempting to rebuild them ever since, with the exception of the monstrous battering ram. For some reason, they don't seem concerned about dealing with the much smaller gates of the castle. For a time, the elderly mages of the Cabal finally took it upon themselves to help with the defenses. Rotating in shifts, they took turns throwing fireballs into the enemy lines. The soldiers welcomed their assistance, but the mages' advanced ages prevented them from doing much of what Zara had been able to do. Shortly after they started, one of them, an old man, took a crossbow bolt to the neck and died. The other two have been hard-pressed since to continue fighting, having retreated deep within the citadel once more. We take up positions on the outer wall near a guard tower. Below, corpses of arrow-ridden soldiers litter the ground, the remnants of the many failed attempts to raid the castle walls.
"I remember when we first laid eyes on this city," Talon says, sounding oddly reflective.
He gazes out at the cavern, his eyes lingering over the abandoned buildings.
"I thought it was one of the most amazing things I'd ever seen. I still can't believe the king would do something like this. He's a bloody monster, Owen."
"The real enemy is the R'hllar," I remind him, though the words ring hollow. "If we manage to get out of this, we'll need the combined armies of Tarsinium to stand against them."
"I'm not sure that bastard Aethelgar will ever agree to that sort of alliance, mate," he says. "Someone will have to take him down before anything like that can happen."
I nod, agreeing wholeheartedly with Talon's assessment. Elias approaches us from the side, his expression seeming grimmer than usual. He carries a bow in one hand and a quiver in the other, which he leans against the wall as he settles beside us.
"Those catapults are almost ready," he notes, glancing down at the enemy force. "The line won't charge until they're done. When they start attacking, it will only be a matter of time before they break through."
He lifts his bow and pulls on the string, testing its durability before slinging it over his shoulder.
"Then this is it," I say quietly, not wanting the nightingales to overhear. "It all comes down to this."
He eyes me for a moment, then nods gravely. Talon sighs.
"Well, aren't you a bloody ray of sunshine? 11 hells, how about a little optimism from you, too?"
Elias turns his attention to him.
"It won't be an easy fight for them. We'll make them pay for every inch of ground they take."
"Somehow, that doesn't make me feel any better."
Talon takes one last look out over the wall, then glances back at my former master and me.
"They don't appear ready to charge yet. I think I'm going to go find a drink."
He walks away, then mutters,
"It'll make dying a little more pleasant anyway."
Standing alone on the wall, Elias and I watch the enemy prepare itself for another assault. We remain there for a time, mutely gazing out at the fallen city, the broken doors on the other side of the cavern bright with sunlight. After a few moments, I clear my throat.
"So, this is the end."
He grunts.
"Looks that way."
I pause, searching for the right words.
"I'm going to fight with everything I have," I continue slowly, resting a hand on my father's hatchet. "But if they break through, I'm going to try and get Zara out of here. Maybe she'll wake up and we can escape. We'll take our chances in the mountains."
I look at him, meeting his iron gray eyes.
"In case I don't make it out of this, I wanted to let you know that I've accepted everything that's happened. And I forgive you."
For an instant, he looks taken aback, an expression of surprise painting his normally stoic features. Then, his emotionless mask comes back.
"I'm glad."
I look back out at the city and take a deep breath. "You've looked out for me for a long time, taught me everything I know about being a ranger. That's a debt I'll never be able to repay. I still have questions, but in the face of all that's happening, they're not important. I'm grateful for everything you've done for me, and I'm glad that you were my master." He stays quiet for a long moment, his posture rigid as he stands perfectly still. When he speaks, his voice sounds uncharacteristically gentle.
"You remind me of him, you know. of your father, Aaron. I know that if he were here today, he would be proud of the man you've become.
I blink away the sudden wetness in my eyes. I would have loved to have known him, but I wouldn't trade my apprenticeship with you for anything. Another silence passes between us, the sort where no other words need to be said. Talon eventually comes back, a half-empty pint of ale in his hand, and he settles between us, seeming a bit less agitated than before. He watches us curiously, then asks, "Did I miss something?" Neither of us answer him. As Elias predicted, the charge is delayed until the catapults are ready. The siege engines are soon brought into position, setting up behind the front ranks. Crossbowmen and shield holders take up their positions on the causeway, along with several rows of spears and laddermen. An air of disquiet falls over the weary defenders, a sense of anticipation that always comes before a fight. A little way down the wall, on a parapet surrounded by a contingent of archers, Barris and Xander Thel stand watching the proceedings, their faces drawn and grim. "So the Protector has finally come out of seclusion, has he?" I think to myself disdainfully. "A fitting place for him to be when the Citadel finally falls. At least he'll be with his men." Below, I can see the armor-plated figure of General Moore stepping out in front of his soldiers, his heavy mace resting casually on his shoulder. He shouts something indistinct, and the King's army lets out a battle cry that fills the entire cavern. In a swift movement, the catapults begin to launch, sending massive rocks hurtling toward the battlements. Men scream as the barrage comes crashing down, obliterating the defenses and sending debris and dust into the air. None of the boulders come near the three of us, the bulk of the attacks focused around the gatehouse, but the damage they cause is immediately noticeable, the crumbling walls a testament to the catapult's destruction. Crouching down behind the crenellations, I find myself hoping that Barris and Thel are all right. Their deaths would deal a serious blow to the morale of the defenders. Finally, the barrage stops, making the cavern eerily quiet. Everyone peeks out from behind cover, peering warily through the dust clouds at the King's army standing just outside of arrow range. Minutes pass, and I can feel my heart thudding in my chest while I wait for something to happen. Finally, with another blood-curdling shout, they advance, their shield-bearers and crossbowmen in the front and their laddermen in the rear. They run for the walls like men unafraid to die, their entire army charging in one great surging mass. Readying their weapons, the Nightingale archers launch volleys at the enemy soldiers, loosing a storm of arrows on the killing field. Elias, Talon, and I shoot as well, trying to take out as many men as possible before the ladders arrive. After only a few pulse-pounding minutes, we're forced to dive behind the wall once more to avoid being hit by the crossbowmen. Something about this assault feels different, and not just because of the catapults. The King's men seem to be attacking with much greater ferocity than before, their push bolder and increasingly intense. It's like the other attacks were merely to test our defenses, and this assault is their true attempt to break through. It isn't long before the ladders thud against the wall, men climbing up while the crossbows cover them from below. Taking a breath to calm my nerves, I set my bow down and pull out my father's hatchet. Talon draws his short swords and Elias removes his belt knife. More than a few Nightingales attempt to shove the ladders away, some succeeding, though most are forced to back away to avoid being shot. As the first of the attackers leap over the wall, the true battle is joined in full. A man with a conical helmet jumps down beside me, his red and gold tabard prominent against the black-clad defenders. He yells and raises his sword to attack, but I manage to quickly bury my hatchet in his face. He goes down in a clinking heap. More attackers vault on top of us, turning the narrow battlements into a chaotic melee, and it's everything I can do not to be thrown screaming from the wall. The wounded cry out in agony, their voices lost in the clanging of metal. Those who come up over the ladders are usually quick to die, but they are swiftly replaced by more of their comrades, crowding the wall and adding to the mangled press of bodies. The battle wages without respite, wave after wave of enemy soldiers assailing the citadel and chipping away at our defenses. When one wave is defeated, the catapults begin launching again, further crippling our defenses. Part of me is furious at General Moore and his apparent disregard for the lives of his own troops. He treats them like fodder, sending them relentlessly forward in an attempt to overwhelm us. This is all wrong, I think, pushing a man backward and sending him tumbling down to the spears below. We shouldn't be killing each other. We're only making it easier for the demons to conquer us. The anger drives me, making me fight harder in the face of unbeatable odds. Eventually, though, their heartless strategy wins out, and the Nightingale's defense crumbles. Not enough of our soldiers remain standing to fight the never-ending onslaught, and slowly they begin to abandon the walls.
"We have to pull back," Elias says, panting. "We have to fight them from inside the castle."
Talon and I look at each other. Both of us know what this means. After this, there's nowhere left to run.